Time now for the quote of the week. But first, a little personal context. See, I believe in open discussion, inviting questions. I mean, the Prime Minister himself stated a couple of weeks ago, in quotes, diversity of ideas helps us learn from one another. Talking with people who think differently from us is how we challenge ourselves. Challenging ourselves is how we grow. Well, I agree with him, although I've got to say, I don't see much evidence to suggest the Prime Minister's willingness to put that in practice, at least when it comes to the government agenda, especially with issues like how to tackle climate change or COVID. And unfortunately, you know, still my criticism of the media is I think way too many go along with that. I mean, the lack of debate and open discussion around COVID policies and guidelines has been, I think, the chief characteristic of COVID coverage in Canada. And I think it's actually undermined public confidence in both government and the media, although I know I want to acknowledge that many people would disagree with that. But it's the context for my quote of the week. I mean, vaccine mandates have got to be on everyone's short list for the most divisive policies in generations. See, at first, I mean, both the Prime Minister and health officers came out strongly against vaccine mandates. But you know what? When we got into the spring, late spring of 2021, polls suggested that it might be a very successful wedge issue as we went to that September election. Well, the government decided to implement them and demonize anyone who opposed them. And sadly, again, much of the media went along with it. As BlackRock's reporter, by the way, who continues to do excellent investigative work, they note in testimony this week in front of the Commons Health Committee, the head of the Ontario Association of Radiologists, Dr. David Jacobs, stated that the mandate was, in quotes, politically driven. It did not help anyone in the healthcare industry. It did not convince anyone to change their mind, end of quote. He went on to state that the Prime Minister's vilification of those who oppose the mandates, you know, he called them racist, misogynist, a fringe group, in quotes, was uniquely unhelpful. Now, in her testimony before the Commons Health Committee this week, Dr. Shiri Kalin, professor of medicine, University of British Columbia, said, in quotes, it's clear, especially with Omicron, the vaccines we have cannot really be relied upon to either prevent transmission or infection. As an example, the first Omicron case in Israel came from a triple vaccinated doctor returning from a conference who passed it on to another triple vaccinated physician. With this evidence, we should have moved quickly to lift the heavy-handed measures and explain the evolving evidence. This is necessary for public trust. It's also good for public health to have a well-informed populace. Having a false sense of security is obviously negative consequences, end of quote. Time now for the shocking stat of the week. Oil prices have dominated the news. Come on, it's the price of filling up our car, heating our home, taking a ferry with the fuel surcharge or a plane with a surcharge. Well, they've all gone up. And of course, the price of virtually every good that's transported has had to reflect those cost increases, which is, I'm sure, I mean, we all know by now the result of supply not being able to meet demand. Well, some may debate it, but I think it's a fair statement to say our discussions regarding energy have been less than realistic and practical. So for today's shocking stat, all I want to do is bring to your attention a couple of facts that should form the context of our discussions, regardless of your opinion. I mean, first, for those who think that it's all about the impact of the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the sanctions, no. Consider that at the end of January, OECD inventories were at eight-year lows. What's also very clear to me, at least, is the amount of new oil production seems to be misunderstood and appreciated. We need to bring on new oil production just to replace the current decline of reserves, not meet new demand as the economy grows. I mean, it's simply how much new oil has to come online to maintain the status quo. Now, that's a big picture item, and it's difficult to measure. I mean, the industry needs to bring on, though, if you look at some of the reports, about 3 million new barrels per day. But I want to put that in perspective. That's like we have to replace the equivalent of the entire production of the North Sea oil every year. I mean, with costs something like $600 billion. Now, by the way, many people estimate that the amount needed to maintain just today's level is going to actually be higher, even more costly. And of course, that depends on where you're getting the increased production from. But the point is that it's not widely appreciated that we need significant new production just to maintain the status quo, let alone any increase in demand as we get to pre-COVID levels again or beyond. You've got also emerging nations which are developing that have increased demand. So to say no more oil production, as many do, is unrealistic. Without a huge jump in prices and reduction in our standard of living, as long as we don't have a realistic replacement power grid.
Hey, just before I get to the goofy award, let me start with a free goofy.
And it goes to all the people who say, hey, I don't like it when you talk politics. I think that's fair enough. As long as you acknowledge, that's the same thing as saying, don't talk economics and finance or investments. I mean, what do you think is driving commodity prices, if not the direct action of government, or high house prices, which are a direct result of record low interest rates, government, and government's increasing immigration number, that's a demand side, and municipal government zoning regulations and licensing timetable, as well as the myriad of levies and taxes, or inflation. I guess we can't talk about that, because that's driven by the massive increase in money supply because of pandemic policies that actually sent tens of billions of dollars to people who were not impacted financially by the pandemic, far more than they sent to people who were. I mean, that list goes on. The point is, with an ever-intrusive government, you really can't talk about economics, finance, and investment without talking about government. So decide what you're interested in. The trends that are impacting you, your children, your grandchildren financially, their well-being, or would you rather political BS and drama? And if that's what you prefer, well, good luck to you, but you've come to the wrong place. This podcast for grown-ups of all ages. Now to the Goofy Award, actually two. Both a reflection of what the Prime Minister says is an attack on democracy, although that wasn't a moment of self-reflection. He didn't have Canada in mind when he said it, but I do. The first goes to the Debate Commission, who way overstepped their bounds and dealt a blow to Canada's democracy by blacklisting specific media outlets, most notably the Rebel Media, from asking questions at campaign events, including the leaders' debate during the last fall's federal election. Well, this week, federal judge Justice Elizabeth Hennigan released her written ruling stating that the Debate Commission's ban on Rebel Media to be troubling, unreasonable, procedurally unfair, and lacking in discernible rationality and logic. The logic is, by the way, that the government doesn't like them. And the members of the Debate Commission are all appointees from the government, including We Charity's infamous Craig Kielburger. Judge Hennigan went on to state in quotes, there is room in the nation for the expression of opposing points of view. Rebel News did not ask to impose its views, but for the opportunity to participate in coverage of matters of importance during a federal election. I'll just file that under another page of Chronicles to attempt censorship. Second part of the goofy, though, goes to NDP leader Jagmeet Singh, who completely ignored the wishes of 3,036,348 voters who cast their ballots for the NDP in the last election by promising instead to support Prime Minister Trudeau's Liberal government until 2025. The people who voted NDP had every opportunity to vote for the Liberal Party, and they chose not to, whatever their reasons. And now, we're just 7 months later, and Mr. Singh completely, utterly ignores their wishes, which were clearly expressed. I mean, come on, it's more than he thinks he knows better. Voting in an election is the essence of the democratic process. And without consultation, he literally trashed the ballots and overturned their votes. That's all the time we have this week. But before I go, I just want to remind you, I mentioned at the outset of the show, we have a new feature on Money Talks. It's going to be Thursday, April 14th, 6 p.m. Pacific. We're going to have an hour-long Q&A session. I'm going to try and answer as many subscriber questions as I can in a Zoom webinar. Now, it's going to be free for all our Inside Edge subscribers, but the platform only allows for a maximum of 500 participants. So you're going to get an emailed invitation starting, I think it's April 2nd. So make sure you register as soon as you can. And if you're not an Inside Edge subscriber yet, well, there's still lots of times to join. Just go to mikesmoneytalks.ca. And you can check out the benefits of the program, including a recent sample of the exclusive content that's there. And while I'm talking about it, I hope you join us on Money Talks Tweets, Michael Campbell's Money Talks on Facebook, and of course, mikesmoneytalks.ca. It's my chance to keep you up to date, but it's also to introduce you to maybe points of view I'm not seeing in the mainstream media. I'll quote other people. I read a ton. I just sort of share some of the best of it. And yeah, it's meant to be provocative,
meant to get you thinking. You don't have to agree whatsoever, but the more we know, the better it is. In the meantime, I hope you go out and have a terrific weekend.